Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who teaches us of the Father and gives us the Spirit. Amen. We pray. O blessed Trinity, we do bow down and worship you this blessed day. Keep us in the true faith. Teach us in your holy word of who you are, all that you've done, continue to do for us, and indeed give us great faith. May we gladly hear now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is your favorite name? In 2014, I read where the most popular girls' names are Sophia, Emma, Olivia. Great names, beautiful names. The most popular boys' names are Paul, and second is Paul, and third is Paul. Wrong. Paul didn't make the top 100. The name Elliot beat Paul. Elliot's number 100. I'm below that. But we have great names like Jackson, Aiden is number 2, Liam, wonderful boys' names. There are many, many popular great names. Today we focus our attention on the name that is above every name, the name we love to hear, the name we love to talk about, the name we call upon at all times, and that is the name of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the name that is above all names, the Trinity. Let me say three things about God's name today. There's a progression in how God uses his name in the Bible. His name's very important to him, as your name is to you. We have the second commandment about God's name. Don't misuse God's name. Three things about God's name. God tells us his name. God then gets closer and touches us with his name, imprints his name on us, and then God would have us take his name to the ends of the earth, that the whole world knows his name, because there's salvation in no other name than that name. Let's talk about these things for just a few minutes. First of all, and this sounds simple, but never take it for granted, our God has told us his name. Now, that's amazing grace right there. What would the holy, powerful, almighty God have to do with us, sinful, wicked people? Why would he ever tell us his name? But our God's told us his name. And the pagans, especially in the Old Testament, were always jealous of this. You see, the pagans always have to make up names for their gods because their gods won't tell them their names because their gods don't exist for that matter. But there's the sun god, and there's the moon god, and there's the rain god, and there's the buffalo god, and the deer god, and the Tennessee god, and the Indiana god. There's a god for about everything, and we make up names for gods. But Israel's God, the church's God, our God tells us his name. We don't make up a name for God. God tells us his name, which is amazing grace. He told Abraham his name, Yahweh. He gave his name to Moses, who asked, "What's your name?" God said, "I am that I am," which is Yahweh. And many titles, of course, in the Bible, all for God. And then we have the name Jesus in the New Testament. Call him Jesus, the Father says. His name is Jesus. We have that name. And then we have the great verse today from Matthew 28. Father, Son, Spirit, the full name of God, the full revelation of God through the work of Jesus. The Trinity, one God, three persons, Father, Son, Spirit. God has told us his name. Now, why? Well, two reasons. Number one, God distinguishes himself from all the false gods. God's the Trinity. So don't call me Allah. I'm not Allah. There is no Allah. He's not Buddha. He's not Zeus. He's not Aphrodite. He's not Hercules. Don't call him any of that. He is Father, Son, Spirit. He's God. Call him that. You don't like it when people misuse your name and don't call you by the right name. God doesn't like it either. But more importantly, God's given us his name that we would have a relationship with him. Never think of the doctrine of the Trinity as some kind of head knowledge, some academic piece of knowledge that we consider for a Sunday. Sort of like a math problem that you find a solution to. Oh, 3 plus 4 is 7. Isn't that nice? I figured out what 3 plus 4 was. Don't think of the doctrine of the Trinity like, oh, I figured out who God is. He's one God, three persons. Isn't that nice? As if God's some solution to a math problem or a science problem. There's no feeling in that. There's no emotion. There's no relationship to math or science. It's just head knowledge. But God tells us who he is so that we have a relationship with him, that we love him and we know he loves us, that we trust him, call upon him in need, and put our faith in him. That's what this is about. You know, if I wanted a drink of water right now, and I pointed over here to my left, and I said, hey, you go get me a drink. You go get me a drink. How many would go get me a drink? Luke, you would. Pat, you wouldn't, so don't raise your hand. You're in church. I mean, you're wondering, well, maybe all of you would. But if I just said, hey, you, you're like, well, who are you talking to? But if I said, hey, Luke, go get me a drink of water. Now, Luke, I don't need one. All right, so don't get up and go. Then, oh, Luke's going to go. I called your name. And so we are not to say, hey, you big man in the sky. Hey, you, whoever you are, come help me. God's like, well, who are you talking to? God's given us his name. So we say, hey, Father, help me. Son, help me. Spirit, help me. Trinity, help me. God's given us his name so that we have a relationship. We call upon him in the time of trouble and trial. He's not a far off, distant God who doesn't care, but he's right here among us. Call upon me. Know me. Trust me. Know I love you. God tells us his name. You know the name of God. You know, 3 out of 4 people in the world don't know the name of God. How privileged we are. Secondly, God touches us with his name. He brings his name down to us people, and he imprints his very name upon us. This is very biblical. Numbers chapter 6. God has had the tabernacle erected there to worship God. And then God instructs the priests, Aaron and the priests, to bless the people. It's called the Aaronic blessing, which I say at the end of church. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. That's from Numbers chapter 6. And God there says, that in this way you'll put my name on my people. In this way, priest, pastor, you put my name on my people. So that when they leave the tabernacle, when they leave the church, they have my name on them and they can face anything then. You have God's name on you. You can call upon God. You're his. You belong to him. You can face sickness, death, disease, war, loss of job, anything you can face because you have God with you and you belong to him. His name's on you. In Revelation 14, you have a picture of the saints in heaven and God's name is imprinted on their foreheads. God's name's on them. Now, when does God do this? In our baptism. That's why Jesus says, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Spirit. Have God's name. Just not be something out there, but God's name on you. God wrote his name on you when you were baptized. That's why we make the sign of the cross upon the forehead, upon the heart. You belong to God now. And if you sign your name to something, you authorize it. It belongs to you. My name's on it. God's put his name on you. You belong to God. You're his. And he'll never let you go. This is the assurance of salvation. The assurance of God's love through trial and tribulation. I belong to God. His name is written on me. I'm his. You know, we've adopted 2 pets from dog shelters here in Knoxville. And how many of you have adopted a pet, a dog or a cat? Many of you have. Normally you go and you look, find the little dog you want or the cat you want. And you can buy it right then, I understand. But most of us probably take a day to think about it, half day, and you go home and, do we want that dog or not? Where are we going to put the dog? Where's it going to go to the bathroom? How's it going to get along with the other animals or people we have, children? Do we want it or not? I guess we kind of want that dog. Let's sleep over it. And then you decide in your mind, we're going to get that dog. It's still not your dog. What do you got to do? You got to go back and sign papers, sign your name, pay money, and then they put a little collar usually around your dog's neck with your name on it. That dog belongs to you now. It's practical. That dog is yours. My name's on that dog. It is mine. If it gets lost, they'll bring it back to me. It's mine. I paid money for it. It's mine. And so the fact that we're baptized in the name of God, he put his name on us, is very practical and very reassuring. Salvation's not some idea God has where, do I want these people or not? Do I love them or not? I don't know what I'm going to do with them. They sin a lot. I'm not real sure. It's not some mind game God has going on. God has put his name on us, paid for us at the cross, put his name on me in baptism. I'm his. Though I get lost, he finds me and brings me back. I'm his forever. And that's the assurance you have, friend, in life. And now, thirdly, take his name to the ends of the earth. For how are the 5 billion, 4 billion in this world that don't know him ever going to know his name? Unless you open your mouth and I open my mouth and tell them of the saving name of God. And so Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Spirit, and teaching them all things. How the world needs to hear of God the Father. Many people don't know how they got here. They think they're an evolved monkey, a product of evolution, floating around with no purpose. They think they're an accident from mom and dad didn't really want them. Really shouldn't be here. Wrong. Tell people you're special. You've been made by the hands of God the Father. He made this world. He made you. He formed you. He knew you before he ever made you, and he loves you. You're special in and of the fact you've been made by God. But even more so, the world must hear of God the Son. For we sin and are alienated from our God and deserve hell. So how can I get to heaven? How can I have peace with God? How can I be saved? So the world needs to hear of God the Son, Jesus Christ, his life, death, resurrection, forgiveness in his name. Tell the world of Jesus and salvation, because the world doesn't know about him. And then tell the world of God the Holy Spirit and his name. For how can I be sure I'm forgiven? How can I be kept in the faith? Well, the Spirit's given us the word in the church, the sacraments of baptism and communion today. And tell the world, hey, be baptized. God writes his name there on you. Learn about communion. Take communion. Here's the body and blood of Christ for forgiveness, for assurance, and for certainty. That's the work of the Spirit in the church. Tell the world of Father, Son, Spirit, and the God of love and mercy. You know how many golf balls are lost in a given year in America? We got a lot of bad golfers. 300 million golf balls are lost in 1 year. In water hazards. That's just water hazards. And there is a guy, he's a millionaire. This fellow's a millionaire. His entire business is to go get golf balls out of water hazards and golf clubs, because sometimes people throw golf clubs there too, and he resells them. He's a millionaire. He gets on his scuba gear. As long as there's not alligators, he gets in the water and gets all the golf balls out and pays a little fee to the golf course, I guess, and has all these balls to resell. He's a millionaire. 300 million golf balls. Well, who cares? I care about the 3 billion, 4 billion, 5 billion lost souls. They don't know the name of our God. They perhaps call on other gods or just don't care about God. And there's billions of them. And they live around us. They drive by Broadway right now. They're wondering why you're here. They see the car. What are they doing at church? What do they do there? We don't have to put on scuba gear to save them. We open our mouth and speak of our God. We show his love in all that we say and do at our workplace, wherever we go. We show his love and compassion. We open our mouth again and tell of our God and speak of our God and tell of our God and speak of our God. If we don't rescue them, they're not going to be in a water hazard. They're going to be in fire forever. What a task. Today we worship and praise the name that is above every name. God has told us his name, touched us, and printed his name upon us. And now he says, you're baptized. You believe. You know me. Go take my name to the ends of the earth. And with that we say, amen and amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. On